Thank you, Greg, for that. So I was preparing this week, you know, the last few weeks here, we always had some great opening stories here. You know, Leon always has something happen to him, and he has some great stories, and he told a nice one last week. Eric always, of course, has some things, and Kevin always does. And I've been trying to think of something here, and you know, I haven't had anything exciting happen. I guess my life is a little bit different, or boring, I guess. But, of course, my personal favorite was Jordan's when he talked about Ruth Ann and the bat. I mean, that was the best, my favorite story up here from the Moody's. But, so I guess I'm just going to go in today, and we're going to speak about faith. And I'd like you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Very familiar chapter, heroes of faith, and talk to you a little bit about some of the people here. We're not going to talk about all of them. But I do want to spend some time here and just refresh to a lot of us faith. Our faith, the faith that we need to have. And to just understand what it's all about. So on Wednesday nights, the last few weeks, I've been talking to the teens, talking to the youth group a lot about faith. Had a few challenges to them, and it's been a challenge to me also. And it's been something that I feel that we can always be brought to remembrance, always understand a lot what's going on. So if you look at chapter 11 in Hebrews, again, very familiar to all of us. Verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Let's bow our heads in prayer as we prepare for this message this morning. Our Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, we ask that you would be with me today as I bring forth your word. And help me, Lord, to say the right words, to have the right thoughts. And Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us would be, our hearts would be prepared here today. Lord, that the pressures of this world, the cares of the day would be kept outside for this short time. And Lord, that we would focus completely on you. And as we worship here this morning. And Father, we ask that you would direct the paths here. Give each and every one of us the faith, Lord, that we need. And Father, that you would just guide, direct us in all that we do this day and for the days to come. And we thank you for these things now, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 weeks ago, I asked the youth, if you remember, how it felt when you were waiting for a birthday. When you were younger and you were waiting for a birthday, there was some anxiety there. You were pretty excited about it. You were maybe a little bit anxious for what you were going to be getting. And most of them remember that, and they had some good comments on that. One of the things, you know, when you have a birthday coming, or especially when you're younger, you know certain things you're going to get. You may have asked for something. You may have regularly got something. Of course, grandparents, in my family, when I was younger, grandparents always gave money. It was nice to get the card in the mail because you got some money. And so you knew that was coming. You knew for your birthday that you would be getting certain things. So you were excited. You were anxious to get these things. But there was also usually one surprise. I think not all the time, but I think you know that you were going to get at least one thing that you didn't count on. Maybe one thing that was coming here today that you were going to get on your birthday. And even today, as you know, older people, I don't have to reflect on the younger people for this. But we always are looking forward, and we're looking forward maybe to get one thing that's not expected. Okay, half of us in this room probably can't even remember when our birthdays are today, but it's a different thing here. So birthdays basically combine assurance and anxiety. Birthdays combine assurance and anxiety. And so does faith. Faith combines assurance and anxiety. One commentator said, "Faith is the conviction based on past experience that God's new and fresh surprises will surely be ours." Read that again. "Faith is the conviction based on past experience that God's new and fresh surprises will surely be ours." Two words that I concentrated on with the youth in the last couple of weeks here was that describe faith would be confidence and certainty. Two C words. Confidence and certainty. And these two qualities need a secure beginning and an ending point. Okay, both confidence and certainty need a beginning and an ending. They're going to start and they're going to end. Beginning point, believing in God's character. Okay, the beginning point of this is believing in God's character. He is who He says He is. God is who He says He is. And we all know from Bible, tell Him, I am, sent you. That says it all. God is who He says He is. And the ending point is believing in God's promises. He will do what He says He will do what He says. As far as I know, God has never broken a promise. God has never broken a promise to His people. How many in this room have broken a promise? I think we probably all have. Sometimes maybe without even realizing it. Sometimes we make promises that we really can't keep. And of course, without a show of hands here, anybody ever made a promise knowing that they probably can't keep it, but they might have satisfied, or it might have been a good thing to say at the time? Or how many have made a promise thinking they can keep it, and then circumstances just allow it not to happen? That's not the same. That's not the case with God. God has never made a promise that He can't keep and He won't keep. When we believe that God will fulfill His promises, even though we don't see those promises materializing, yet we demonstrate true faith. Okay, so when we believe that God will fulfill His promises, even though we don't see them materializing yet, we demonstrate true faith. And of course, if you turn with me to John chapter 20, please, a very familiar story to all of us. Most of you probably know right away where I'm going with this. Chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. Of course, it's the story of Thomas. In verse 44, he says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold thy hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. And blessed are they that have not seen, and yet they have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not within in the book. But these are written that ye might believe in the Lord, and Jesus is the Lord, is just the Christ, and Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Because we're all very familiar with that story, Thomas, doubting Thomas. And how about when Thomas says, and we all have probably said this at one time in our lives, unless I see Jesus, I will not believe. And of course we know the Bible tells us 8 days later Jesus came. And Thomas sees him and touches him and says, My Lord and my God. Physically had to see him, touch him to understand that. The other disciples didn't have this doubt in him. And what does Jesus say to him? Jesus says, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. And blessed are they that have not seen, and yet they believe. That's true faith. Sometimes we have to see something. We have to actually have it in our hands to actually believe in it. We lack the faith sometimes, as Thomas did. Without seeing it and physically touching something, or if Jesus Christ doesn't physically or miraculously do something, we might not have the faith that we need. And that's not what we're talking about here with this faith. We're talking about a true faith. And in a moment here, we're going to look at some of these heroes of faith through chapter 11. And men and women that were just so faithful to God, they never questioned. They never said why. They never said no. They did what they had to do. But before that, we'll look here at Hebrews 11:3. The writer here in Hebrews says, Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are not seen were not made of things which do appear. Of course, we know that God called the universe into existence out of nothing. He declared that it was to be, and it was. Our faith is in the God that created the earth, the entire universe, simply by His Word. That is where our faith stands. The faith that we don't have to see it, we weren't there to see this happen. But we know through the Bible, and we should have our faith, God spoke, and things happened. So as we read on in Hebrews, the writer now brings to his argument the examples of numerous people who lived such a life of faith. Okay, I'm sure everybody in this room has read Hebrews more than once. It's a great chapter to read on heroes of faith, or just understand truly about faith. So I'd like to spend the few moments that we have here today just looking at these heroes that we all know of. And if time permits, at the end, maybe a few unsung heroes. People that are mentioned once in the Bible, but their act or whatever they did was truly a tremendous amount to see the gospel go and to go forward in that. So if we have time, I have a few peoples here. I call them the unsung heroes of the faith. So let's look now, if we go back into Hebrews in chapter 11, verses 4 through 7. It says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. And God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We read about Abel through verse 7. He's the first one. We read about Abel, Enoch, and Noah. They are mentioned as precise examples of men acting by faith. And the generation receiving the exhortation was to live by faith. And each succeeding generation also must live by these things hoped for until the coming of the Lord. So we read about these three men that have needed of faith, the generations to come, and the generations to come. That's us. That's each and every one of us in this room. That we must live by things hoped for until the coming of the Lord. Hebrews 11 tells us, the writer tells us, that Abel made an acceptable offering, which was a blood sacrifice. We all know that is one of the first stories we learn as young people growing up in a Bible-believing church. We hear very early on about Cain and Abel. And Abel made an acceptable offering, which is a blood sacrifice. And this offering established blood sacrifice as the basis of entrance into life of faith. Okay, so Abel's blood sacrifice that was pleasing to the Lord established the sacrifice as a basis of entrance into the life of faith. The faith life becomes a life only by an atonement made. To read that again, the faith life becomes a life only by an atonement made. Abel continues to speak to us today, the story of Abel. It would be Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, this blood sacrifice from Abel, eventually we know the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So through what Abel's pleasing sacrifice continues to speak to us today. I thought that was very interesting when I read that from one of the commentators. We don't always look at it that way. But that's continuing. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ that each and every one of us is saved. Through the blood of Jesus Christ that we have, that we should live by this faith that we're talking about here tonight. Then, of course, we know Enoch lived a righteous life. His goal was to please God at any cost. If you do a study on Enoch and you read about Enoch, you know that his goal was to please God at any cost. How about us in this room? Is our goal to please God at any cost? Is our goal in life to make sure that every single thing we do pleases God? Enoch was, and he succeeded. The Bible tells us before his translation, he had been well pleased unto God. Before God took him, he was well pleased unto God. God was happy with the life that Enoch lived. And this should be the goal of every believer. The goal of each and every one of us in this room should be that goal, to please God. It is impossible, though, to please God apart from faith. I believe it is impossible to truly please God without faith. We need the faith of these men, these two men that we just talked about. And of course, there's Noah. And Noah believed that God would judge the earth, and this became an incentive for his life of faith. Noah believed. God talked to him and told him that he was going to judge the earth, and he wasn't happy with the way things were going, and Noah believed. The faith. Noah built the ark as an evidence of his faith, and he activated his faith in the light of judgment. Noah lived to see his faith and his practice vindicated. Noah believed and acted. On one hand, he exhibited his faith by building the ark. And on the other hand, he saw his faith vindicated in his deliverance from the flood. He believed. He built the ark because he was told to, and he survived the flood because of the faith that he had. It's powerful faith. It's a great example for us here. So in the early chapters, in the early verses, Enoch and Abel and Noah are great examples to us. Great men of faith. And the later patriarchs also bore the same witness. If you read through them, we're not going to look at all of them today, but we all know, of course, of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. And all are great examples of life of faith. All of these people are great examples to us in life of faith. Abraham and Moses are great examples, or greater examples, I said, because they played such a part in the purposes of God in the earth. Their ministry, if you want to call it that, or their lives played such an important part of God in the earth here. If you look at verse 8 here, chapter 11, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, and not knowing whether he went. Abraham exemplifies obedience in the life of faith. When God called him out of Ur, he went, the Bible tells us. When God said, you have to go, and I'm not going to tell you where you're going, he went. That is faith. Has God ever told us, or if we ever had that point where God has said, I want you to do this, I want you to be a part of this ministry, and we don't know the outcome, we don't know, and we just do it? Or do we, like I think most of me, the way I would act, and probably a lot in this room, we're not ready to have that complete faith as Abraham, and just pack up and go. Abraham had a lot of things. He wasn't, you know, he was probably well established, and yet he packed up and he left. God said, go, and he did. He lived in tents, him and his family and people. They lived in tents and they just were moving on. His eyes were fixed upon a city not yet seen. God told him he was going to send him somewhere, and his eyes were fixed upon something not yet seen. That is faith. Later on, if we look at verses 17 through 19 here, now we're going to skip around a little bit. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that had received the promises offered up to his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he also received him in fatigue. So how about this? Later on, the faith of Abraham is tested again. God tells him to go, and he goes. And now he's telling him that he has to sacrifice his son. Abraham willingly gave Isaac to God, or was going to give Isaac to God. He was fully persuaded that the seed of Abraham through Isaac, the Bible tells us here in 18, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Abraham was fully persuaded that the seed of Abraham through Isaac, predestined to bless the world, predestined to bless the world, would be under no jeopardy, even if Isaac should die. So he was willing to do what God told him to do, and understanding that God's word is true. Even if Isaac were to die, God's plan through Abraham to bless this world would be under no jeopardy. That is faith. You hear that and you look at that. Of course, in Genesis, we won't turn there, but back in Genesis 22, verses 1 through 19, that the Bible tells us that Abraham was willing to give up Isaac when God commanded him to. And of course, we know that God did not allow this to happen. We all know that story. God here was testing Abraham's faith. God wanted to see what Abraham would do. So instead of taking Isaac from Abraham, God gave Abraham a whole nation of descendants through Isaac. Abraham's example of faith here should be helpful to all believers. Abraham's example here of faith should be a good example to all of us. We should not be afraid to trust God. I think sometimes we do. I think sometimes if it's not fitting into the way we want to do things or we want to do it on our own, I think we are a little afraid sometimes. I think we are a little afraid to truly trust God. I think there's times when we want to do things on our own power, the own way that we have done things all our lives. Abraham was tested here by giving his son. Of course, we know the story. Isaac was given to Abraham and Sarah very late in life. We know that they wanted children and didn't have children, and then God gave them what they wanted, and then God helped them to take it away, or he was going to take it away. And Abraham, from what I see and from what I study out, is willing very easily to do that. That is true faith. We should not be afraid to trust God. I think sometimes we are. I know sometimes I am. I know sometimes I am afraid to truly trust God to do what He would have me to do. And I want to do it on my own. Because Abraham was willing to give up everything for God, when you read on, he received back more than he could have imagined. I think sometimes if we are willing to give up everything for God, we would receive back more. We would be pleasantly surprised to understand how much God wants to bless us and how much God wants to give us just by giving back to Him. We give back to Him a small amount every day of our lives, I believe, in our offerings and our time, and talents, whatever it may be, we give back a very small amount compared to what Abraham was given. He was truly blessed. And I think we look for blessings all the time, giving back a small amount. Will those blessings be like to us? And a little thought here, if we're willing to give everything to God, if we're willing to seriously give everything that we have to God. Another great example of faith here is Moses. And look at verse 23. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. There's a few examples here of faith through Moses. His parents were tested very early. His parents must have had great faith. They hid Moses, and we know the story. The parents here, that by faith his parents hid him. They trusted that God would care for him. By faith, his parents hid him and trusted. As a parent, or parents in this room, or a soon-to-be parent, maybe someone that hasn't started a family yet, have we trusted God enough to take care of the children that He has entrusted us? Have we truly trusted God enough to have Him take care of the children that He has entrusted to us? Could we put our newborn baby into a basket and hide him in the river there down in the reeds and in the weeds there, knowing that God would take care of them? God has a plan for every person And I believe that our task as parents, or your future task as parents, is to pray for and to prepare your children to do the work God has planned for them. I believe that is essential in our lives, that we pray for our children, and that they would go forth with the plan that God has for them. Faith should allow us to entrust our children to God. Faith should allow us to entrust our children to God. And of course, Moses later on makes other proper choices. Moses chooses God's people and the promises of God, even though that meant affliction and adversity. We know the story of Moses. He chose the people to lead God's people, knowing what his life, what was going to be ahead of him. And of course, in this time, Moses became the deliverer of a hopeless people. We know that Moses became one of the great leaders of Israel. And we know the story here. We know that Moses was raised. He was taken up in a little bit of God's humor here. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. So the people, his mother and father not only gave them up, knowing that God would entrust, God put him in the home of Pharaoh. And Moses grew up in this home. Moses probably had a lot of good things. I don't think he wanted for anything. I think he had wealth and riches. Well, we know he did. He had power. He had things that he didn't have to do what he had to do. He didn't have to leave all this and lead God's people. But he was a man of faith. God talked to him, and of course we know the story, and Moses wasn't ready to do it because he thought he wasn't capable of it, he can't speak, and all those things. But he did it. God worked on him, worked on his faith. So Moses became a very important person in Egypt. And it took faith for Moses to give that all up. But he could do it, because he saw the fleeting nature of the great wealth and prestige, and it's easy to be deceived by the temporary benefits of wealth, popularity, and status of achievement. Faith made it very easy for Moses to give that all up. Faith will help us look beyond the world's value system to see the eternal values of God's kingdom. Moses had a lot, he gave up a lot, but he saw the outcome. His faith knew the outcome and what it would be. So with Christ in view, Moses chose to leave Egypt and lead the people. He saw Christ in view and he was ready to go. Of course, later on, Moses gives further evidence of his faith by keeping the Passover. You know that story? And of course, Moses and all the people together by faith witnessed the miracle of the Red Sea. All the people with Moses saw and witnessed that great miracle of the Red Sea. So Abraham and Moses are pretty strong examples to us of faith. Men of faith. The lives that they led, the things that they endured, the way that they carried on their life should be an example for all of us. I'm not sure anybody in this room has ever been told to just go, and I'll tell you when you get there. I'm not sure that all of us, any of us in this room, had the wealth and the prestige and the power of Moses and gave it all up. But I think we all might know some people that way. There might be some missionaries that we might know. There might be some great men and women of God that have given up a lot because of their faith to do what God would have them to do. Verse 30 and 31, if we can look there now. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, and after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies with peace. When Joshua planned the conquest of Jericho, he sent out spies. We know that these spies met Rahab upon their entrance into the city. Rahab had two strikes against her already. She was a Gentile. She was a prostitute. She had two strikes against her. We know that she kept these spies in and she protected them. She hid them and she protected them. She showed her faith in God by welcoming the spies. She showed the faith that she had in God by protecting and welcoming these men. But I love verse 31, if you look back there, what God does here, what he does. It says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. God spares her and her family. Small act of faith, by hiding some men and putting some men up and protecting them. And yet God was pleased to spare her life. Faith helps us to change and do what is right, regardless of our past. Faith should help us to change and do what is right, regardless of our past. I think we should praise God, each and every one of us, for that. Each and every one of us in this room should be able to praise God for changing us one way or another, for the life that we had in the past, to love Him and to honor Him. That is truly a praise to God. And these verses summarize the lives let's go look at 32 through 38. If we could turn there now. 32 through 38, I'd like to read those. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and Samson and of Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, waxed vigilant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover the bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, and in mountains, and in dens, and caves of the earth. These verses summarize the lives of other great men and women of faith. Some experienced outstanding victories over death. Others were mistreated, tortured, or even killed. The Christian life will most likely not be easy. We have all heard that at one time in our lives. A Christian life most likely is not going to be easy. While we are here on earth, we may never see the purpose of our suffering also, either. But one thing we do know, that God will keep His promises to us. Talked about that at the beginning. Like the Old Testament records, we too experience victory through faith in Christ. We do know that God will keep His promises. And in verse 39 and 40, read those, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Hebrews 11 has often been called the faith's hall of fame. These men and women, wonderful people. Each of the people mentioned in this chapter illustrates some phase or aspect of the life of faith. We looked at a few of them today. Each one of these represents or illustrates some phase or aspect in the life of faith. Whether it be obedience, as Abraham when he said go, and Abraham went. Acting on promises to come. Of separation from the world system. These are all things that live or aspect of illustrations of faith. I think no doubt here the author of Hebrews surprises his readers by this conclusion. These examples to us did not receive God's total reward. I think if you're reading through that and then you read that, that would be a surprise to all of us, because we're just hearing about these wonderful people of faith. He says that they will not receive that. What does he mean by that? These people all died before Christ came. These people all died before Jesus Christ came to this world. The writer has not completed his argument concerning the superiority of the life of faith over the practice of the Mosaic legalism. One example still remains, And that is Jesus Christ himself. One example remains. All these great people that we just looked at and we talked about, one example remains, that's Jesus Christ. Is our life pleasing to Jesus Christ? Is our life of faith the faith that he would have us to do? We can skip into chapter 12 now, just one verse here. It says, "But consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." Consider him, the author here says, consider him. Having considered all of these witnesses, the readers are now to consider him that endured. The readers, you and I and others that read Hebrews, as we look at that, we see all those witnesses, he now tells us to consider him. Consider him that endured, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Hopefully today we have been reminded of what it is to be faith, to be a faithful servant, to be someone that is truly living a life and willing and able to do what God tells us to do. As when he told these men back in Abraham and Moses, and they did it. Hopefully that's a good reminder for us today. Two statements here that I'd like to read, and I think they're very very fitting as we wrap up this part of the heroes of faith. It says, "Faith is trust in the unseen. It is not trust in the unknown. For we may know by faith that we cannot see with the eye." Faith is the ultimate assurance and the ultimate evidence that things not seen are realities. Read those one more time. Faith is not in the unseen. It is not trust in the unknown. For we may know by faith what we cannot see by the eye. And faith is the ultimate assurance and the ultimate evidence that things not seen are realities. We don't have to always see things to know it's true. We don't have to see the air and the air that we breathe to know that it's there for us to keep us alive each day. It's real important that we are able or willing to look beyond the seen, get to the unseen, and have that faith. Chapter 11, again, is some wonderful examples for all of us to live as heroes. I have a few unsung heroes here that I just want to mention quickly. A handful of them here that I was looking at and reading about. Unsung heroes in the Bible. And we find a few of them in Acts. We just had a great last year or so on Acts. Different men here in the church have presented Acts to us. I trust that was a blessing to each and every one of us as it was to me. The history lesson and the start of the church and all that we learned of. So when we think of the success of the early church, what do we often think about? What do we usually think about? We think about the work of the apostles. Okay, we think about Peter and Paul and others that, as we learned about and heard so much about in the book of Acts, how powerful they were and the things that they did. But I'd like to say here today or this morning that I don't think the church could have I think the church could have died or would not have been successful had it not been for a few of the work of the unsung heroes. Men and women who through some small but committed act moved the church forever. The first one that I like to talk about in chapter 9 of Acts is Ananias. He had the responsibility to be the first to demonstrate Christ's love to Paul after his commission. Ananias was chosen a man to be the first one to go to Paul and to show him the love and what it was like to be a Christian. Verses 13 and 14 of 9, he says, "And not him, Lord, that's impossible, could have become a Christian." Ananias' response, he did obey God, ministered to Paul, and never underestimated God. Ananias never underestimated God. Another example is Cornelius. His example showed Peter that the gospel was for all people. God made it very clear that the good news of Christ was for everyone to hear. And we should not let any barrier keep us from telling others about Jesus Christ. And how about Rhoda? Her persistence brought Peter into the house where he would be safe. And I believe when Pastor Jared was talking about that, and he was talking about the young girl that was at the door there, and, and the faith and the persistence that she was. When she came and she said that Peter was at the door, and they all said, no way, can't be. She was persistent. She had some faith there that it was Peter. And the prayers of this little group were answered as they prayed. Rhoda was an unsung hero of faith. And then Lydia, she opened her home to Paul, where he had led many to Christ. Hospitality of one woman here opened her home to Paul, and some great things happened there. Unsung hero here. Lydia, of course, was a rich, influential merchant. When she believed and was baptized, it opened the way for ministry in this region. And God often worked through women in the Old Testament, of course, we know also. And how about Jason? Another one to open his home to Paul. We don't know a lot about Jason. He was the local host of Paul. He must have taken all the heat for all the problems. Because of his courage, Paul was able to minister more effectively. Not much given attention to Jason, but God certainly used him mightily. And then Paul's nephew, just heard about him in the last couple of weeks, saved Paul's life by telling the officials of a murder plot. Young man here, Paul's nephew. Easy to overlook young children, assuming that they aren't old enough to do any good. Jason was a young man that did a lot for the gospel. But a young boy here played an important part in protecting Paul's life. The lesson here is that God can use anyone who is ready to yield to him. And then, like we just heard again, Julius, he saved Paul's life. He had good character in the man. He developed respect for Paul. Saving Paul's life here preserved Paul's life and ministry. So here this morning we heard of some people, the heroes of faith. And then a few here, some unsung heroes. There's many more, I'm sure. We learned that. I hope that that's a good example or a good challenge to you today in the life, in the faith. And just a reminder more of anything else. I didn't say anything here today that we probably all haven't heard at one time in our lives. But I truly believe that it can be something that we can take in our lives and to strive to live that life of faith, to be like Abraham and Moses. God may call one of us to go someday. You know, He might ask us, and you don't have no age limits here. Are we willing to go? God might ask us as these, the host and the hostess that we heard here, to host somebody, to be able to take care of somebody in the ministry, and be able to do that, whether it be financially or hospitality, whatever it may be. We have the faith to go ahead and do that. There's a lot of things that God could have planned for us. We don't know yet. But we do know, and I've mentioned here more than once today, that God's promises will not fail. God will keep His promises. And if we live that life of faith, then the promises that He promises us are truly a blessing. Let's close in prayer here today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for these men, these women of examples. We thank you, dear Lord, that each and every one of us, we can learn about. We can strive to be like, Lord. But more importantly, Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and His life. The example of faith that He brings to us each and every day as we open your word and study your word. Father, that you would be with us, and we thank you for that. Father, we pray that you'd be with these people here today, each and every one of us in this room. Lord, that we would truly be blessed. Lord, that we would understand that your promises are there for us. Lord, that you would keep your promises. And Lord, all you ask back is that we would live a life of faith. That we would be faithful to you and live the life that you would have us to live, Lord, and we thank you for that. Father, we ask now that you would be with this afternoon as we spend time with families, that you would just bless us. We pray, dear Lord, that you would be with the message tonight as Cliff will be preparing and bringing forth a challenge to us here. We pray, Lord, that you'd bring each and every one of us back for these words, and we thank you for that. We thank you again, Lord, for everything you do for us, the opportunity that we have here this morning to worship, the opportunity, Lord, that we have a part here of this service. We thank you, and we ask now that you would bless this day. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.